Welcome to As I Know It, The Violet Fog, proudly hosted on the How Do You Health Network. This podcast is all about health, wellness, beauty, mental health, and a little bit on love and business. I've been a writer and reporter for over a decade, and everything you hear is from my own framework. I aim to inspire and motivate people to learn about their own health and bioindividuality as I learn about mine. And like me, your path to healing, it's going to be very unique. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to health, at least there really shouldn't be. So how do you get there? How do you get on your own healing path? We explore that. This is not medical advice. It's simply what has worked for me. Expect stories, research, how I draw conclusions, take what works for you, leave what doesn't, but find out what it means to really be an empowered consumer and patient. Oh, and we keep it under 30 minutes because time is precious. Happy you're here. Hello, welcome to Violet Fog, As I Know It podcast. I hope that you are all doing great. This podcast is hosted on How Do You Health Network. Check out their other shows. They have some really, really great other shows. We are here in Austin. Okay, let's just hop right into the episode as we always do. Today, I'm going to be talking about some health mindsets / wellness practices that I challenge every single day. Kind of things that I'm against in a way. It's just things that I see floating around the internet all the time. I have even seen like experts take this stance, and just know, like, this is just my opinion. You know, everything that I say on here is never medical advice. I'm a human being with my own formed opinions. I listen to my intuition. Just keep that in mind. And I like telling you my opinions and like stances that I have on things. So that way, like, whenever you are consuming my content, you also just realize the biases that I have, the stances that I take, so that you can see like where we align and where we don't. And then you can properly, make decisions on what you want to use and what you don't want to use. When it comes to like any advice or like research I'm sharing, you get it. So, all right, let's hop right into it. The first thing that I like to challenge it, or not like to, I'm actually annoyed to, right? But one thing I challenge is, When people say the best way to work out and get the best workout of your life is by HIIT training, that's high intensity interval training. HIIT, it's obviously super popular. You know, it's when you're like go, 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 you're basically like dead by the end of the workout. It's just like super fast paced. And I don't deny that it is amazing for a lot of people. Personally, I think it's probably better for men just due to their hormone cycle. But I just don't think that it's for everyone. I think it can be for people at very specific times of their life. And if it works for you, amazing. I am not denying that there are people who it totally works for. But I really do think there's a big group of people who think that they should be doing HIIT workouts, or they're putting themselves through HIIT workouts, and it's really not the best thing for them. I think for women, HIIT can be incredibly hard on your hormones. Like, it can be really taxing. Or flaring of the hormones. And I don't like that. I personally experienced that myself. I think when you go into a HIIT workout, you need to be someone where you have a eye on your hormones. You've done the blood work. You know where you're at. Your hormones are good. Then maybe attempt HIIT or don't. But I think for the majority of us, just given the landscape of the world that we're in, the toxins we face, people coming off birth control, antibiotic use, like yada, yada, yada. Like, a lot of us just have some hormone issues that we have to work out. And I don't think that HIIT is always the best thing. I think a lot of women, HIIT's just not great for their hormones. I know for me, it's certainly not. And I have had blood work to show it. 2 years ago, I remember trying HIIT and I gave it 3 months. That's 90 days. And I was doing it like 4 to 5 days a week. So, or like maybe 3 to 5 days a week, but that is consistent, right? That's 3 months worth of HIIT that I was doing. I have never been more inflamed or puffy in my life. I was so tired all the time. My hormones reflected in my blood work that it's just like not where I want to be at, right? And it's just so funny because so many people are like, oh, HIIT is how you're going to achieve your aesthetic goals. It's the quickest way to do that. Well, it was actually the quickest way for me to not achieve them because I was so puffy, so inflamed. Even if I was like gaining some muscle, which like I don't even really think that I saw much of a difference. I was so puffy that like you wouldn't even be able to tell. And a lot of fitness people will be like, well, that goes down. Well, it really didn't go down for me. In fact, it didn't go down until I really, you know, got my hormones back in check. So I just think if you're pressured into thinking that like the best way to get into good shape is HIIT, just challenge that, because it really can be tough on the hormones. And I just think we need to be aware of it. I also think this, if you're going to do HIIT, don't like go into it perfectly. And when I mean perfectly, I mean be very well nourished. Your body literally is about to feel like it's going to be going into battle. So if you're not like set up to go into battle, I don't think you're set up to do HIIT. Be perfectly nourished. Have the best sleep of your life the night before. Do not be stressed whatsoever going into HIIT, because you're about to be super stressed, right? Like working out is a stress on the body. It's a good stress, but it's still a stress. So if you're stressed and then going to work out, which is a stress, I call that a double stress. I mention double stresses all the time in my life. I will never do a double stress, right? If I'm stressed out, I'm not working out. You know, if I've had like a bad day, whatever, but if I'm not like stressed, then I'll work out. But if I'm stressed, even just a little bit, that's not when I'm going to work out. Like my hormones right now, I'm working too hard on them. I don't want to mess things up. So you know, that's a lot that you have to get right, I think, to really like set yourself up for success with a HIIT workout. I don't think most people can hit on all those all the time. At the same time, like I said, there are some people who are just like really works for them. But I challenge that notion that HIIT is like the best kind of workout, because I don't think it is. Okay. The second thing is there's like this, you know, this mindset, this practice, this belief system held by a lot of people that veganism is the only way and you cannot have animal products in your diet. In fact, that it's like cancerous, on and on and on. A lot of this has actually been disproved. But also I think that in a way it's like kind of ableist to be like, you should not eat meat. You should only eat this, because like a lot of people who have autoimmune conditions have to eliminate so much shit from their diet. What else are you going to eat for real? Like there are some people right now that can't tolerate like FODMAP things. There are some people who can't tolerate a ton of different vegetables or grains, right? And it's just like, what are you going to eat? Like meat is pretty like universal, works for a lot of people, you know, like no allergens. Like it's just like, I just think a lot of people need to be eating meat. I am autoimmune. A ton of people are autoimmune and have to follow like an autoimmune protocol or, you know, diet, lifestyle. Without meat, like I would not be getting the nourishments that I need. And so for someone to tell me you have to be vegan, you should be vegan, you're cruel for not being vegan, I just like, honestly, get the fuck out of my face. Like that's how I feel about that. I'm so over that. I love what vegans are doing. I'm friends with a ton of vegans. I really am. Like, I'm good friends with a lot of vegans who are happy, healthy. Like, clearly, the vegan diet very, very much works for them. And that is awesome. But also, like, I don't believe that something fully works for someone unless I see their blood work. But anyways, I digress. You know, I really love what a lot of vegans stand for. I think that it's like, you know, compassion for animals, of course. And if there's one thing that I'm very much like with them on, it's factory farming. F that shit. That's horrible for the planet, horrible for animals. You know, I really do believe that it's not all black and white when it comes to consuming meat. I do think that you need to eat responsibly and like with an ethical mindset, right? Like I want grass-fed, grass-finished. I want animals that are cared for, of course, you know. But we do what we can, and I hate that notion that you need to give up meat, because I know so many people who have given up meat and gotten really sick. I have a girlfriend who, even if she goes a few days without meat, like she feels so lethargic, and she has like tried like plant-based for a long time, and it just does not work for her. For me, I was vegan for like two or three years, and it was the most tired I have ever been. Granted, I had, you know, other things going on for sure, but like my diet was not helping me out one single bit with like regaining some energy, which is what I really needed in that time period, you know? So, I just think people need to stop telling people what to eat. Like let's educate, right? And let's also, at the same time, it would be very irresponsible of me to say, don't try veganism, right? Because for some people, that works really, really well for them. And genetics come into play. Like, even blood type can come into play, maybe. There's a ton of stuff that can come into play, right? So, like, I would also never say, like, don't try it. Like, maybe try it. But just, like, figure out where you're at. You need to realize that you are a bio-individual person with your very specific needs. Your body is never going to be a direct mirror of another person's body. What you need is very different from what someone else needs. Your diet should be extremely tailored to you. I think we need to just stop giving people crap about like what they're eating when it comes to, you know, if especially if you're eating whole foods. Like, I just would never, you know, I would never say to a vegan, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you eating? You know, unless they're my good friend and they're eating a ton of processed crap and they come to me asking questions about that, then maybe I would insert my opinion. But I would never just be like, you know, not eating animal products is like super irresponsible. You know what I mean? So I just think like, I really hate that mentality of them saying that you have to give up meat to live your healthiest self. For some people, yes. For everyone, no. Okay. Speaking of diet, no matter if you are carnivore, paleo, like I hope that you're actually like none of these things and you're just eating for yourself, but however you're eating, everyone needs liver support. So we're going to get into our sponsorship, and that is the product Liver Love by MSW Nutrition. So I've talked about Liver Love so many times. So again, like I just said, I don't care what you're eating. Everyone needs liver support. It is so important. So the one that I take is Liver Love. I've taken this for years now. I believe that it to be one of the best. I take 1 to 2 a day. It's even in the Violet Fog Dailies, which is also by MSW Nutrition. That also has a mitochondria supporting supplement in there. It's called Mitochondriac. It has biotin. Which is not for everyone, but it's for a lot of people. But Liver Love in general, so if you order it, you have a bottle, right? Take 1 to 2 a day. And you can also use it in like specific scenarios. Like if I have a drink, I'm taking 4 Liver Loves in a 24-hour period. Point blank, definitely happening. Extra liver support, right? But just my day-to-day, I take 1 to 2. And I just think what's amazing about Liver Love is it's methylated vitamins. That is so incredibly important. Please do not be getting your supplements at CVS. Like, that's just junk, right? A lot of places is junk. Even places that you wouldn't think is junk. Like, you just have to be so careful about supplements. So Liver Love is methylated. The ingredients that they have picked in their Liver Love, I think is incredible. Milk thistle, green tea extract, alpha lipoic acid. Like, there's just so much good stuff in that supplement. I look at it as like the ultimate multivitamin for your liver. That's what I look at it as. So if you want to try Liver Love by MSW Nutrition, please use my code VIOLETFOG for a discount. I would really, really appreciate that. Try it out. Let me know what you think. I think that you'll be super happy with it. Okay, let's jump right into the last thing that I'm going to talk about. There's a stance that I don't like, and that is when brands and or people take the stance that coffee is terrible for you or terrible for everyone. I feel like in the last like 5 to 10 years, this narrative has just grown and grown and grown that coffee is really awful for you, especially coffee alternative companies are saying this. And I know this for a fact because I have a coffee alternative, you know, company. I think we're so much more than a coffee alternative brand, but like we are a coffee alternative, right? Or something in addition to coffee, the Violet Fog Potions. And so, of course, I've done a ton of market research. And so many of these brands take the stance of being against coffee. And I just think that's so irresponsible. And here's why. Number one, coffee is so full of so many antioxidants. And I don't think I think a lot of people aren't getting enough antioxidants in to take out the coffee would take away from their antioxidant load. Number one. Number two, there is plenty of research that shows that coffee can be really helpful for preventing Alzheimer's and dementia. I also think that coffee can help brain synapses, just like the quickness in which how quick is your brain on your brain's feet, right? Brain synapses. Some experts say that it can help with metabolism. I always go back and forth on that one, but You know, there's plenty of really great benefits to coffee. And coffee is also deeply cultural or deeply familial. For, you know, a lot of countries, like, that is just deeply embedded in them, right? Is drinking coffee, drinking espresso, or, like I said, deeply familial. For me, I grew up with a dad who just loves coffee. And when I was old enough, I started drinking coffee, and I love coffee too. And to think of him, like, without his coffee is just, like, weird. It's something we've enjoyed, like, mornings together drinking coffee. Like, I just love that. And also, he's going to be 84 next year, and he is sharp as ever. So does the coffee play a role? Like, I don't know. Like, studies say that is actually a very high possibility that it does play a role in why he's, you know, that age and doesn't even show an ounce of dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that. And he is very quick on his brain, on his feet, his brain's feet. You know what I mean? I do think, of course, like, your coffee needs to be super organic, right? Like, that comes, is it mold tested? All those things. You want high quality coffee, of course. Like, Folgers in your cup, you don't want Folgers in your cup, right? Like, you don't want McDonald's coffee, all of that. Like, that's just, it's not high quality coffee, right? But, like, you know, get a high quality coffee and I think you're fine. I also think this, I just don't like the blanket statement, ditch the coffee, right? Because, like, coffee can help a lot of people. I think where coffee is a issue is if you have a true addiction to it, right? Like, if you can't go a day without it, like, let's say a day comes around where for some reason you can't have coffee. That might suck, but if you're, like, fine, like, it's all right, like, I'll still get through the day, cool. But if you're, like, suffering, like, no other, headaches, all this stuff, like, that's not good. If it's getting to the point where you're drinking so much coffee where you feel like your HPA axis, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenals, is starting to, you know, get in dysfunction, your adrenals are starting to feel taxed, you're starting to become tired but wired, your sleep cycle is starting to get disruptive, perhaps you're starting to get more jittery, more anxious, maybe you feel like coffee's not working as well for you anymore, like, you know when something is an issue for you. Right. You know that. You don't need someone to, like, do a test to tell you if, like, coffee is helping you or harming you. Unless, like, it's a very specific diet, unless there's something very specific you're trying to achieve, that I get. But, like, if you're able to have a cup a day, maybe even two cups a day, and it's just something you enjoy, you find that it enhances your life, you're good. Like, that's awesome then. You know, if it's not affecting you in a negative way, nothing wrong with coffee. I just think, like, our company, Violet Fog Potions, will never take that stance about being against coffee. In fact, we say, put a scoop of our stress blend in your coffee. Make your coffee last longer. Enhance the benefits, right? Or swap out your second or third cup of coffee for a potion. Or if you don't drink coffee, drink a potion. You know, the potions aren't meant to just, like, replace coffee because they do so much more than that. They're so, so good for you. But my point is, we'll never take that stance of, like, being against coffee because I drink a cup of coffee every single day. I love coffee. But when caffeine rules you, then it is an issue. And I think it is more the caffeine than the coffee that really is the issue. And, you know, on our site, it's so funny. Like, I just wrote an entire article on how to detox from coffee should you need to. But I'm, like, so clear in my messaging that I don't think coffee is bad. It's just when I think you have a caffeine addiction that it's bad. So it's just something that irks me that I see. And I get why brands do it. I think it's a really easy marketing tactic, right, to make their product look appealing. But I just think, like, we need to operate with the moral compass. We need to look at big picture, take bioindividuality at play. Oh, obviously, caffeine genes, that's a thing too. If you ever get a genetic report, you'll see how well you metabolize caffeine. Some people way better than others. But yeah, I just think, like, the blanket statement that coffee is, like, bad for everyone, I just don't, you know, I just don't think that's super responsible. So those are three things that I challenge with health and wellness. You may or may not agree with me. That's cool. If not, I hope that we can still be friends regardless, right? Like, the world is different. It's great that we all have different opinions. I do have three more things that I challenge on the daily health and wellness practices. And that is going to be on this new paid subscription model. So we're always going to have our podcast, right? Every single week. But now I'm going to start recording extra content. So this will be exclusive member content, bonus episodes, archive access to How Do You Health shows. It's going to be awesome. And the first episode is going to be three more things that I challenge. And if you want to check that out, that model is only on Apple. So even if you don't have an Apple phone, you can download the Apple Podcasts app. But check it out. I think that you'll really like it. I'm going to put a lot of work into that as I put a lot of work into this podcast here. So if you want to check out the three other things, it is going to be on that paid subscription model. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next week. Sending you all the love. You know I'm obsessed with you. Bye.